Hey guys, welcome to the Bro Show. This episode is, as they say, one from our archives, I guess. So it was filmed back in 2015, September 21. Anyways, enjoy.
Well, I went to go visit Irvine when my brother was going. My brother went to UC Irvine, and they had the whole meal passing. And he was in Irvine while I was in San Diego, which was nice. And I go visit him, and people, you got these 18, 19-year-old kids just complaining about, oh, man, this chicken sucks and blah, blah, blah. I was like,
yeah,
are you kidding me? Like, I'm like chowing down. I'm like, this food's phenomenal. You guys get treated awesome here. But then, it's all about perspective. Those kids had no idea how good they had it. Not at all.
I think so, too. And as much as I feel like when I was touring the campus, they had a lot of really nice facilities, and I'm like, man, I feel like I would just spend all my time here. Like if I was in college, if I was like, cause it's all paid for by the tuition and stuff, right? Free gym membership included. I think very cheap rates for like bowling and pool and stuff like that. So I feel like I would just spend so much time there, whether studying or whether hanging out. But I remember in the Navy, they also had very nice facilities like on base, but especially when I was out of school and I was just working like a working sailor. All I wanted to do was leave the base, and it was almost a waste of all the facilities that were provided to us,
Well, there's always something critically wrong with every single base. It was filled with us. So essentially you had a bunch of like 19 to 25-year-old dickheads running around, as a pissing contest everywhere you went.
And so, you're right. By us, I mean, I'll admit, I was one of them. I wasn't.
Oh, no,
it's not
me
like,
too.
Yeah, I wasn't part of the solution.
I was the worst. So I get it. And that's the reason why I left.
I always left. It was like a mutual agreement. I wanted to leave, and the base did not try to keep me there.
Right.
Basically, if there was a school that was called like Douchebag University, and it had like amazing facilities and first-class dining and stuff, you'd be like, yeah, but then in order to be there, I would have to be a douchebag. Like you said, that would be a crazy college mascot.
I mean, douchebag?
Like the Kentucky douchebags or whatever. Like, I don't know.
No, it'd be more like
I'm not
Jersey
calling
Shore.
Kentucky douchebags. Sorry, let me back up. I just mean that like if there's some, if there's like bumfuck university douchebags, like that would be there.
Everyone in Kentucky is like, hey, man.
Yeah, because someone in Kentucky is listening to this podcast going, I am intellectually offended by that comment. Right?
Yeah.
Check out the kind of stuff that we kind of bypass on base. So there were free movie theaters. I mean, just completely free. You just walk in and watch movie like in the theater style movies. The bowling games were like $1 per game. Bowling now is what, like $4 or $5 per game, I think. I mean, it was $1 per game. Like you can bowl till your arm falls off and you're only spending $6 or $7, $8. The golf was real cheap. They had what else do they have, Paul? A pizza party. They had a bar. I mean, whatever you could want, like it's like a floating hub for if they had to just transport that base to like anywhere in the world, then you'd be able to still function without leaving the base, which I think that was the idea because sometimes you're restricted to the base. whether you get in trouble or something, then they have these rules where you just can't leave the base. But I mean, essentially you would never need to because they have dentists there, they have the hospital there, they have a grocery store there, gas station.
I mean, every base acted essentially as its own little sovereign nation. So, yeah, you're right. Everything, like, there was no real – the only reason, again, to leave the base was to get away from us, right?
Yeah.
So,
as what you guys are describing right now kind of reminds me a bit of my culture, like the IT culture. In terms of the quote-unquote benefits that they're trying to give to their workers, which is the nicest place I worked at in terms of the benefits and facilities was a place that had two ping pong tables, a basketball court, like a big screen TV with Xbox 360, a foosball table, and
imagine
what now?
Only playing with clones of yourself.
Well, no, that's what I meant. Like those facilities were for your coworkers, right?
Right.
So I mean, but that's how that, like, you know, a Google does it, right? Or would they go like, oh yeah, like, oh man, it must be awesome to work for Apple because they have this thing. Like, I think Google serves, you know, free. They just have a cafeteria where you don't pay anything. You just go eat whatever.
So the I've heard that same thing.
Yeah, the whole point though is like,
you can't leave.
That's for them to keep you there, so that when they ask you to work at 18 hour or a 20 hour, and be like, well, just, you know, just hang out. Like, you don't need to have a life.
I've heard like laundry, like they provide laundry service there. They provide daycare for your kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, on one hand, it seems like it seems great, you know, it seems very appealing, but like nothing's free. I mean, I don't think they're really putting that there primarily for your enjoyment.
Well, you know? Yeah, no, not primarily. So they realize, oh, like this costs us less.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like the, you know, I'm going to make you an awesome hamster cage. You're still in a fucking hamster cage. You know, like there's no, you're still trapped essentially. And then don't forget the all important pussy. There's no, you know, there's no real viable hookup opportunities with some of those Navy girls. No offense, Navy girls, but there's a reason why guys stay in the Air Force. You know, like
no offense, Kentucky Navy girls.
Like, don't get me wrong, there were some hot Navy girls, but like the ratio of like
you're a lucky man than me because I maybe saw one in the 6 years that I was there, one or two.
Yeah, no, and all the hot girls I saw in the Navy were always never in my, you know. Never in my wheelhouse. They weren't nukes. They definitely weren't nukes. You know.
And then, I guess you're right. I mean, in other departments and
You get the hot like dental, like the dental assistant, or you get the hot yeoman. You know, or you know,
if you ever saw like some of the female pilots. I mean, the pilots have pretty nice bodies. The female pilots.
But that's about it, though. You know.
I mean, sometimes it's you take what you can get though when you're in the Navy. Right?
Oh yeah, but that's why I left base. Especially freaking Hawaii was awesome because they had like three universities there, so there's a bunch of college dive bars there. You know, I was still young enough to look, you know, like college aged. Well, I was college aged, so that and since I was brown, you know, I could be considered a local. A lot of girls dug that. They're like, oh, he's not one of those Navy assholes. He's actually he's local. He's one of the guys that lives here. Little did they, I just got my mouth shut, you know?
No, but I think, that's another part of why the base, it has to be so appealing is because, especially when you're traveling abroad, when you leave, I mean, there's so much more to explore. Right? Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, depending on whatever base you're at, I mean, like, I've heard good things about Yokosuka, Japan. Mm-hmm. To where there were people that didn't even like the Navy, and then once they go to Yokosuka, Japan, they reenlist.
Wow!
Like, yeah, it is worth staying here.
one of my good friends, we took the same calculus class. He got out of the Navy not too long ago. He was actually in Yokosuka. Says it was amazing, and he didn't even like the Navy. But I mean, he said best time he's ever had. Best time he's ever had.
That's in Yokosuka?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I never got the privilege. I was in Japan. I went to a place called Sasebo, Japan, which is just north of Nagasaki. Mm-hmm. And it was nice being in Japan, but it wasn't the way people describe Yokosuka. I never got the opportunity to go to Yokosuka or Tokyo, Japan, for that matter. I mean, the traveling part alone, in retrospect, made it worth it. When it was happening, nothing made it. All I wanted to do was get out of the Navy. I mean, that part of it was my age, my attitude, which I don't know. Again, like as far as the college kids and stuff, I don't know if that was going to be me wherever I was. I'm not sure. But I think in retrospect, just the travel benefits made the whole thing a little bit more. At least I know it wasn't a complete waste. You know, in fact, in retrospect, it wasn't a waste at all. But the traveling was a big part of why I don't regret the decision to join, but for me the reason I got out was the relationships, like getting married, having a girlfriend or something. I didn't feel like, I mean, hands down to the guys that are able to do it, the couples that are able to survive.
And most of them can't. And you know as well as I know, most of them can't. They think they can.
And by most, we're not talking about like 70%. We're talking like 95, 96%.
Yeah.
You know, there's couples out there that you're like, no, there's no way that couple would ever get divorced. I mean, I've met the guy, I've met the girl. They look like they're the exception. They're not the rule. And then like one deployment later, they're separated.
And we all know why. You know,
it's kind of whatever you see in the movies is, you know, it's kind of based on loosely based on real life.
Yeah. Art imitates life. I mean, I told myself in the military, you know, I promised myself I wouldn't put myself in that situation to where every single relationship I got into the military, every single girl I talked to, told them up front, hey, look, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. I mean,
that's a good way to put it.
What I would really tell them is, look, it's not a good idea to be in a relationship with me. Like, if you want to hang out, you want to have some fun, that's one thing. But long term is not a good idea. It's just, you know, we're going to fight the odds, but I'm going to tell you right now, the odds are like astronomically against us.
Yeah, they're not in our favor. We can go outside and try to get struck by lightning too. We can let's go fight some lightning bolts and let's go try to get struck by lightning.
Exactly. And that's, you know, it's pretty horrible. So, but I mean, like I said, I was honest with myself. I was honest. And a lot of the girls really appreciated it. And, you know, if it meant that I didn't get to hook up with them, you know, better than now than, you know, have to deal with that messy stuff later. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't get into like my first real relationship until I got out of the Navy. For that reason was because, you know, I just didn't feel like it was something that I needed to put someone I cared about through. So especially knowing the numbers is just, like I said, like you said, 90-95%.
Yep.
It's not going to work.
Like I met my wife probably 4 or 5 months after I got out of the Navy. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think that like, if I would have met her while I was in the Navy, I mean, I love my wife and everything, but yeah, it was bad timing.
It would have been a bad situation. I mean, you know, it wouldn't have been an optimal situation for a good relationship.
You're right.
Yeah.
A solid, long lasting relationship. And furthermore, could there have been another girl that I met while I was in the Navy that could have been my wife? Probably.
Yep.
I mean, I'll never know because I didn't really explore it, but I know what 96% of the Navy did when they explored it. They were wrong. You know, they were like, as much as this is the right person, this wasn't the right time.
So what do you think about people who are in relationships while they're in college?
Dumb. So stupid. I'm just going to say, that's how flustered I am. When you going into college in a long-term relationship, you know, I know I'm going to hear it. Oh, you don't know us. You don't know what we've been. Bitch, you've been together for 2 years. You're 16 years old. What the fuck do you know? You know? So you're going to tell me you're going to stay with your man after he's banged 4 sorority girls? In the same night? 2 at the same time? Same guy, right? That's the guy that you know and love and marry? Trust me, he's not turning down college pussy. It's a matter of time.
So in that example, I'll agree with you. That relationship is probably not going to last. However, I will say that I think there are college relationships that can stand the test of time. I think one of the indicators – I think that it's not likely. However, it's not as unlikely as when you're active duty in the military. I would raise – you know, instead of 96% fail rate,
about same campus though.
Yeah. Okay. So so I actually met my wife in college. So, and it wasn't the example that you're talking about. There was no, it was just us. But one of the indicators was that, one of many indicators was that my grades weren't slipping. Like, and actually my grades improved. Like one of the reasons we started hanging out was because we're actual study partners, not just like pretend study partners.
Oh, I have plenty of those time together, you know, quote unquote study partners. Yeah. But like, you know, I study. I start with shots.
Hey, you want to go study like
yeah, you know what also helps is a massage. Massage will probably help you out too.
I usually study on Fridays and Saturday nights.
Yeah, so just meet me at Fridays. You know, I'll be the guy with the awesome blossom, or the.
I also study best at like 9:30 p.m. or later.
No, and honestly, so I had it so good because I got to college, of course, after the military. Everything was paid for. The military taught me how to study. There was never anything that I really had to worry about in the military or in college that the military didn't teach me how to handle. So, you know, and also
I would argue relationships was one of them.
Yes.
I think tell you how, you know, they tell you how to handle everything as a single man. I think you can survive as a single man, but yeah, they didn't teach nothing about relationships. In fact, I think they were
counterproductive.
As far as relationships, I think they gave guys a false sense of hope because the guys, they couldn't differentiate the two.
I don't think I could have rolled my eyes back into my head any harder. I thought it was awesome because that's where I learned to be really direct. I can't tell you how many girls I met in college where I'm like, look, I'm going to tell you right now, you're 19. I'm 24. You know, like you think the world of me right now, but wait till I hook up with your best friend.
Did you ever have the guy like, so in the Navy, we have duty days, right? Which means you're stuck at your command or on the ship or the sub or whatever for the whole 24-hour period. And so if you had something to do that day, if you had a wedding or something to go to, you could swap your duty day with someone else. So every once in a while, I can think of two instances where someone had wanted to swap duty days with someone else in the division because they had to take their girlfriend to prom. This is like a 21, 22-year-old man. I mean, young man, but taking their 17-year-old girlfriend or whatever.
You know that guy that you can see in the cartoons? He's got the top hat, the monocle. He's twisting his mustache while he has like dynamite on the train tracks. That's exactly how I pictured that guy. Because he knows exactly what he's doing. He's getting 18-year-old vagina. That's what he's doing.
No,
well, hopefully she's 18.
In my mind, he went in uniform. You know, he went as like some war
vet. He was playing it too. I can't tell you how many times. Like, I'll see – I remember being in high school. There was a bunch of guys that when we had like a special ceremony for the guys that were going into the military. It was like we had some awards night for like academic stuff, and then it – like a lot of us were going into the military. And, you know, I saw a lot of those guys when I came back home, and they were at TGI Fridays in full uniform, thinking they were going to get laid because they were in uniform. And I'm like, this is embarrassing.
Like, it might have been true, though. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know what kind of lounge lizards I'd be picking up if I had. That's not the right kind of girl, you know, like. I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
I'll tell you this. I don't know. How many deployments did you go on?
Don't ask me that on the air. My military career. I've had probably one of the luckiest schedules ever.
Okay, so the reason I asked this was the reason I asked was because I don't know if you've been away from civilian females for like 3-4 months, 5 months at a time. The girls that you end up seeing, I mean, your standards tend to lower real quick.
Oh, you mean like in South Carolina? Oh, yeah. You mean like in upstate New York?
There you go.
We had this conversation. No, I don't know if you remember this, and I may have told this story before, but it's me, you, and like a bunch of dudes from like Tennessee, Virginia. And we were hanging out in one of the dorm rooms in Power School. And it was, who was that big cow-looking girl that had, like, super bad acne, cross-eyed glasses, looked like, you remember Willy Wonka? Willy Wonka, they had that girl that turned into a blueberry?
Okay.
She looked like that. Remember that girl?
Yeah, yes.
Don't give a name. I mean, that'd be horrible,
I'm not saying a name.
Just call her
Kentucky. She's probably from Kentucky.
she's probably from Kentucky. So the thing is, this girl looked like the blueberry girl from freaking Willy Wonka. Like, no, legitimately was probably like 75% body fat. Like, I don't know how she made military regs. Anyways, so this girl had four guys around her all hitting on her while she was walking to her room, right? And the guys in the dorm room hanging out with us, they rush to the dorm room. They're checking her out like she's the hottest shit ever. And me and Alan are just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Like, they were asking us if we thought that chick was hot. And of course, being from California, the land of where all the hot chicks live, we were like, no, that's gross. Like, that's gross. And yes, I'm objectifying females at this moment. I was 19 years old. Forgive me. Right.
Also, you already gave away that you're from California, so you're fine. You got to pass.
Yes. So they're just like, what do you mean? She's hot. I'm like, whoa, no, she isn't. And then they even went so far as to ask me and Alan if we were gay because we didn't find that chick hot. Do you remember this at all, Alan?
Vaguely. Or I remember stories like this, but.
Okay, no. So I was like, guys, I'll be right back, because I had had my parents send me back some stuff from back home, including my yearbooks. So I got my senior yearbook. And I was like, hey, guys, this is what we deal with. And they were going through my yearbook like it was a Playboy. Like, they were just like, you went to a school full of models. I'm like, no, this is just California. This is the standard of hotness in California. And this is what we expect. This is where we come from. And we just have hot chicks running around everywhere. Because all the hot chicks from your podunk, you know, bumfuck Kentucky, whatever, all the hot chicks
poor Kentucky
come to us. And then they live there and procreate with the other hot people, and their progeny are even hotter. So when you tell me that substitute for a cow is hot, I have serious questions for you guys. So the only other guys like from the United States that had girls that hot were like New York, like from around like downtown New York, where all the models are and all the Broadway actresses are. So, and they understood, but everybody else didn't get it.
So here's where I think that the regular college life is very different than the military life. Sure, the facilities might be similar. Sure, the food might be plentiful and mediocre. But as far as the female interaction and the female exposure, I think regular college life has it hands down over the military. I mean, the military can only dream of seeing the quality of the females that they have on a college campus. I think they're from all different walks of life. I think you see them in different venues, different environments. I think they're – I don't know. Just like whenever I'm walking around a regular college campus, that part of it is what I feel like I missed by joining the Navy.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
For sure.
That's the part that I think like, all right, you college kids, you win this one. You win this battle.
This podcast has been brought to you by the fine folks at San Diego State.